and Savior of the church, the heir of all things, and judge of the world, unto whom God did from all eternity give a people to be Christ Jesus' seed, and to be by him in time redeemed, called, justified, sanctified, and glorified. 1689, Baptist Confession of Faith, Chapter 8, Section 1. There are many glorious names, there are many titles given to our Lord Jesus Christ, but every name can be summed up as mediator through the office of prophet, priest, and king. The Lord Jesus was ordained by the Father in the hallowed halls of eternity past to fulfill those three offices. They were clearly foretold by Moses and all the prophets. So if we desire to come to a better understanding of Jesus Christ's role as mediator between God and man, we would do well to know what he taught as a prophet. We would do well to understand the great sacrifice that he made as a high priest. And we would do well to see how he exercises his role as the eternal king. This message this morning is simple. Last night, Brother Joe gave us some insight into the Lord Jesus' work in his office as high priest, in his office as eternal king. Brother Jeff Thomas climbed those steps, spoke of the atoning work of Christ in his high priest role. And both of these offices, the office of high priest and the office of king, is going to be covered, I'm sure, in the messages that are to follow. So I want to focus this morning simply on Jesus Christ, our mediator, as the greatest prophet come from God. Most of you have a far greater knowledge of this subject than I have to teach today. So I'm going to speak with the same purpose that Simon Peter had in mind when he wrote, "Therefore, I intend to remind you of these things. Though you know them and are established in their truth, but I think it right this morning to stir you up by way of reminder." 2 Peter 1, 12 and 13. Will you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1 once again? Verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, at many times and in many places, in many ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has spoken. Yet let me remind you this morning, God did not have to speak. God did not have to speak to humanity. May we never forget something happened back there in the garden, and a terrible breach was created between God and Adam and between God and Adam's posterity. No, God did not have to speak to men, Brother Joe, whose hearts were darkened, whose minds had been blinded by the God of this age, who had exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and of whom God had said, "There's none righteous, no, not one." And who without excuse before holy and a just God? God would have been perfectly just if he had never again spoken to we human beings after Adam and Eve had breached their covenant with God. But God, Brother Rodney, but God, two of the most wonderful words that human ears ever heard. But Jehovah God has not chosen to remain silent. The Lord God who has spoken long ago, has spoken through the prophets. And in this passage of Scripture, long ago refers to that period of time between Genesis 1:1 and the end of the book of Malachi. But it especially speaks of the days from Abraham forward through a period of 1,500 or 1,600 years until the Holy Spirit led Malachi to complete his writing. And the first thing that I want us to look at this morning is that long ago, holy God spoke to the Israelite father, and he spoke to them through the prophets. How then do we define that word prophet? In the original Hebrew, the word was Nabine. In the original Hebrew, that word was descriptive of something gushing forth and pouring forth. And in the context of Scripture, it was descriptive of God pouring forth His Word to His people. It was descriptive of God speaking. And when the Hebrew Scriptures were translated into Greek and later translated into English, the word became prophet. So the word prophet literally means to speak. Prophets were those people called and anointed by God to speak on behalf of God, to reveal God to humanity. Prophets were God's messengers. God called prophets to speak in His name and to speak about Himself. Prophets were sent by God as interpreters to God's people, for God, about God. And God used prophets to make His name known throughout the earth. Here's the way the Apostle Peter described the prophet called of God in 2 Peter 1:19 to 21. Peter had just written that he and James and John were privileged to see the Lord Jesus in a portion of His majestic glory there on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter wrote that he and his two companions had heard the voice of holy God speaking, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." But Peter wrote on and he said that you and I have something even more certain than Peter's own eyewitness account. He wrote, "We have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." You see, the true prophet called by God spoke for God supernaturally as he was led by the Holy Spirit. Prophets had two primary roles. Most of the time, Brother Carey, they spoke forth for God. They proclaimed in His name. And that meant that they revealed God's sovereign nature. They revealed His character and His attributes. They revealed them to God's chosen people about their own present day and time. You see, the prophet spoke forth to instruct the children of Israel as to how they were to live. And they gave warnings to God's people if they were disobedient. The second role of the prophet was to speak beforehand, to predict the future. And many Old Testament prophets were ordained by God to perform both of these roles, to speak for God in the present time and to predict what God had told them about the future. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophet. God literally possessed those prophets' hearts, controlled their minds, ordered their tongues, so that what they spoke was not their own words. But when they spoke, Brother Todd, it was the same as if God Himself had spoken. Listen to our Lord God when He called Jeremiah chapter 1 and verses 4 through 10. "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." That was God's call to Jeremiah. But you remember, Jeremiah objected to God's call. "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth. For to all that I send you, you shall go. And whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." See, God called Jeremiah to speak God's words to Judah on God's behalf. Hear the prophet Moses as he speaks forth for the Lord this morning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You talk of them when you're in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you sit down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Listen to Moses, the prophet, speaking forth God's instructions for his people. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God who keeps covenant with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. Deuteronomy 7:9-10. I want you to turn with me quickly to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, look down at verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. And he said, go and say this to the people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the hearts of the people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Then I said, how long, O Lord? And he said, until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. That was Isaiah's commission from Jehovah God, telling him to speak forth to God's elect people. Now move over to Isaiah 53. Let's just read verses 1-6. Isaiah is predicting the future. He's telling about something that's going to happen 700 years later. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of the dry ground. And he had no form of majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. And he called those prophets to represent himself to mankind, to give the oracles of God by which his people would be instructed in all things concerning God and life, to warn them of the consequences of their sin, to call them to repentance, and to reveal the future. And the very first time that we find the word prophet in scriptures in Genesis chapter 20, Abraham had lied to King Abimelech when he told the king that Sarah was his sister. And Abimelech had taken Sarah in his harem. You know the story. God appeared unto Abimelech in a dream, and in verse 7 of chapter 20, Jehovah God said this. He said, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. Abraham was the first prophet spoken of in the Old Testament scripture. But there were prophets before Abraham. In the early days of creation, Enoch, the seventh descendant from Adam, was a prophet. Enoch proclaimed God's truth. And in Jude verse 14, Jude tells us that he preached a message of judgment to a wicked and ungodly world. Enoch spoke and predicted of a future day. Behold, he said, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his angels to execute judgment upon all and to convict all of the ungodly of all of their ungodly deeds and of all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against God Almighty. But even earlier than Enoch, there was at least one prophet spoken of in Scripture. The first prophet, Brother Earl, according to the Lord Jesus, was Abel. Luke chapter 11. In verses 50 and 51, the Lord speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees said, the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. When God spoke long ago to the fathers by the prophets, Moses was considered the one considered by the Hebrews to be the greatest of all the prophets. Moses was considered to be the most highly regarded figure. He was the most supremely honored prophet in Jewish history. Moses spoke face to face with God. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses saw God's glory because God put his own hand over Moses and passed by. Allowed Moses to see his glory as his backside passed by. Exodus 33. And Moses saw the fingers of God write the holy law on the tablets. Exodus 34. And the prophet Moses gave to Israel the law and the commandments. Deuteronomy 5. Fact. The law was most often called the law of Moses by the Jews. Moses was without a peer among the prophets of God. But you know, even in the beginning, Moses didn't want to be a prophet. He told God he was not eloquent. He was slow in speech and in tongue. He said, Lord, I don't know how to talk. But I want you to listen to the Most High and Holy God answering Moses there in the desert of Midian from the burning bush. Who has made man smile? Who makes him mute, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be your mouth, and I'll teach you what you shall speak. Exodus 4, 10 through 12. You see, that's what God did with his prophets. He was their mouthpiece. He taught them what to speak. God ordained Moses to write the first five books in our scriptures. And it was the Lord God who buried Moses in the valley of Moab. Here's the epitaph that God gave to Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Deuteronomy 34, 5 and 6. Yes, Moses was considered by all the Jews to be the greatest of God's prophets. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways under the old covenant, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But Brother Ken, there was something much better and more perfect to come. Look at the second verse in Hebrews chapter 1. Here's the second thing that I want us to look at this morning. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. The God who long ago spoke to the fathers, now in these last days speaks to you and to me. Long ago, Yahweh spoke through His prophets. A bit of revelation here, some more revelation there. Always progressing in revelation, but never complete. But now He speaks in a better and a more perfect way. For in these last days, God speaks completely more so than He spoke through all the Old Testament prophets. Holy God's revelation is now final and complete. For in these last days, under the new covenant, He has spoken through the Son. Richard Phillips said it so well, without the sun we remain in the dark regarding the glory of God. But with the sun we have an ideal, indeed a perfect revelation of God's glory. John 1:18, no one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side. He has made God known. In these last days, God has spoken through the Son. And the last days refer to that period of time from when the Lord began His ministry, all the way down through the ages, until one day the Scriptures tell us that the sky is going to literally roll away like a scroll, and the Son of Man is going to come in great power and glory to judge this world. Of all the prophets that have ever spoken forth for God, of all the prophets who have ever spoken beforehand concerning the future, the one and only Son, Jesus Christ, is the greatest of all those prophets. Greater than any other prophet who ever spoke for God. Greater even than Moses. Greater than all that came before him. For he, Jesus Christ, is God come in the human flesh. Robert Harbach said it this way: Christ as prophet had the preeminence over all the prophets. The prophet said, "Thus saith the Lord." But Christ the mediator in his office as prophet said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." The prophet said, "Hear the word of the Lord." But Jesus Christ, our mediator in his office as prophet, said, "I am the truth. The truth will set you free." In John 1:14, it's written, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The Word of God took on human flesh and revealed God to us in a way that was never known before. You see, in these last days, God has spoken through His Son, whom God appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. Jesus Christ, our mediator, is the one who most fully reveals God's divine glory. Because He is the radiance of God's glory, Brother Jeff, and the exact image of God's nature, Hebrews 1:3. He is the exact image and imprint of the invisible God, Colossians 1:15. Paul said it this way on another occasion: "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in the believer's heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 4:6. Listen to the prophetic voice of Jesus Christ in John 14:9. "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one." Listen to the word of God speaking forth: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 4:17. The Lord spoke to Nicodemus that night: "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:3. And it was the prophetic voice of the Son speaking of monergistic regeneration of the lost sinner that spoke these words: "The wind blows where it lists, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." John 3:8. "Hear the Son. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that findeth it." Matthew 7:13 and 14. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out." John 6:37. "This is why I told you No one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. John 6:65. Here the Son predicts the free future. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:2-3. You see, this is Jesus Christ, our mediator, performing his office as the greatest prophet. And each one of the Old Testament prophets, they foretold some specific but incomplete revelation about God. You see, their revelations about God were limited, though we said they were progressive. But Arthur Pink wrote this. He said, when the Son was on this earth, the Son in his role as prophet made known the whole counsel of God so far as was meet for the church to know while this present world continues. See, God's revelation is complete, for the Son has spoken. And as one of my modern day's heroes of the faith would say, glory, glory. He'd probably go on and say, would you like to hear some more? But I'm not going to go that far, Brother Carey. But I'm going to tell you some more anyway. The very fact that the long-awaited Messiah would appear to Israel as a prophet had been known from early history for the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel arrived before the Jordan River after 40 years of wandering in the desert, Moses preached his last sermon to a new generation of Israelites. So I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. I want you to locate verse 15. Let's read a few verses. Moses is speaking forth, and here in this scripture written 1,400 years before Christ was born, he particularly predicts the future. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. But as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they've spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. And whosoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Turn to Acts chapter 3 now. Verses 22, 3, and 4. See, Simon Peter's preaching his second message now. After Pentecost is recorded in Scripture. He affirms there in chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, that Jesus Christ was the prophet spoken of by Moses back there in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. Peter said, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brother. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. John 1:45 we read, Philip findeth Nathanael, and he said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. And even though the prophets did not fully comprehend all that they should have understood about the Lord Jesus, nevertheless they believed he was the anointed one, the prophet that Moses had spoken of. And the Lord Jesus himself often publicly confirmed that he was a prophet. When the people of Nazareth and the surrounding area would not listen to the Lord Jesus, he stood in their assembly one day and he called himself a prophet. John 4:44, John wrote this, but Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his hometown. 3 years later, the Lord Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem to be crucified, and he hadn't yet reached Jericho that day. And a Pharisee came up to him, and he said to the Lord, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And the Lord answered, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons, and I perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.'" Luke 13:31-33. Turn with me quickly to John 12:49. The Lord Jesus is speaking during the final days before his crucifixion. In John 12:49, he gives a brief summary of his 3.5 years of ministry. He said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Now slip over to John 15:15 real quick. The Lord Jesus is talking to the disciples just hours before he's taken into custody by the Jewish leaders. And look at the second part of verse 15. "For all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you." And so in these scriptures that we've looked at, we see the Lord Jesus speaking in his office as the greatest prophet that ever walked on the face of this earth. And on several occasions, the Jews wanted to arrest the Lord. They wanted to destroy him. But the scriptures say they feared to do so because the general population believed he was a prophet. And Luke records that when the resurrected Lord Jesus was on the road to Emmaus with those two disciples that afternoon after he had risen from the dead, one of them said to him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And the Lord said, "What things?" And in Luke 24:19, one of them said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people." Jesus Christ is the greatest of all prophets. And in the short time that's left this morning, there's a third thing that I want us to look at. The book of Hebrews teaches that Jesus Christ is superior to all things, to everything, because he made all things. The writer of Hebrews points out that the builder of the house is greater than the house that he built. And in Hebrews chapter 3, the Lord Jesus is presented as being superior to Moses, superior to that greatest and most revered of the Old Testament prophets. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus." Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. Yes, Moses was the great prophet of Israel, but for only one reason. Because before the foundation of the world had ever been laid, he had been appointed to that office by the Lord Jesus. Moses was ordained to be a member and a servant, a tool in the house that Christ built. And the builder is greater than any of his tools. Arthur Peake explained it this way. Moses came to a people who were already the Lord's by covenant relationship, Whereas Christ takes up those who are far away from God, who are dead in trespasses and sin, who are without hope in this world, and creates them anew and brings them into a covenant relationship. Thus, as the founder of the family is entitled to the highest honor from the family, so Jesus Christ is worthy of more glory than Moses. He is the prophet most worthy of all glory, for his name has been exalted above all names, and he has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Oh, to see my name written in your wounds. For through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live. Won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love. What a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. In these last days, God has spoken through his only Son, Jesus Christ, our mediator, prophet, priest, and king. Let us pray. God, our heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you spoke to the fathers through the prophets long ago. And Father, we know that if we open your holy word, you're speaking to us today. Father, we thank you that in these last days you've spoken to us through the Son. And we know if we open your holy word, the Son is still speaking to us today. Father, when we think of it, all we can do is bow on our knees before you and cry, holy, 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 and clap our hands and sing glory, glory to the Son of God. Amen.